It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you this Saturday and every Saturday. We have our posse in the studio today. Gary Tobin, the finer looking one of the Tobin family, is here and present. My brother Dave, who I'm waiting for him to stand up someday in his life, and my co-host Mark Tobin, and our guest of honor, Ted Hatfield. We're going to talk about Hatfield shotguns. If you don't own one, you should. Something wrong with you. They're a tremendous piece of equipment for the value of the money. But other than that, we're doing just fine this morning. Mark, I asked you when you walked in the studio, any of these fish drowned yet? There's so much water.
They are stressing, yes. There is a lot of water on top of their little heads.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Let me go over some of these with you. We've got really some record water levels at a lot of these lakes. Milford's at an all-time high. It's 27 feet high. Tuttle has come down a little bit. It's down to 60 foot high.
60 foot high.
Perry's 28 foot high. Clinton, 18 foot high. Smithville's 8 feet high. Hillsdale's 12 foot high. Stockton, 18 feet high. Pomme de Terre's 25 feet high. And a lot of the water from these lakes has got to come down through Truman, and Truman's 33 foot high still. It reached an all-time high. Have you ever been down along the mile-long bridge down there at Truman?
Yeah.
Right now, if you go across there, it looks like the water's touching the underneath side of the bridge. And normally, you know how far down that water looks?
Yeah.
That is an incredible amount of
water.
Can
you still get a boat underneath there?
You can, barely.
Barely.
Yeah, a bass boat. Now, pontoon, no.
You got a lean pontoon nose.
Yeah, take the deck seat down off the front of the boat, and you can
rowboat, yes.
Duck and get down. Yeah, God, it's just crazy.
Well,
but they're starting to dump a little bit of water. You know, the good thing is with all this high water, I mean, just think of the amount of fish that are not being caught right now, because there's just not very many people able to get out on the water.
Sure.
So there is going to be a silver lining to the whole thing, and that is that, a lot of fish are not getting caught, number one. But number two, the spawn that has occurred, all those little fry have a lot of places to go hide right now.
Yeah.
So the survival rate is going to be really, really high. Mm. So the fishing should be spectacular for the next several years to come because of this.
Blow the dam. I suppose we're roaring the water out of there. That's
got
to be something to see, let alone fish.
Right. I heard they're going to run up to 70,000 CFS out of Truman Dam. And did you hear that they closed down the Osage River Dam below Bagnell Dam?
Wow.
But between Bagnell Dam and the Missouri River?
Didn't know that.
It shut down. Now, I don't remember that. It's probably happened before. I just don't ever remember ever having that happen. So,
wow.
Crazy amounts of water.
Unbelievable.
Other thing, did you hear it is official that state record hybrid has been confirmed, new state record for Missouri. 21 pounds, 11 ounces. The guy's name is Cesar Rodriguez from Carthage, Missouri, and the Conservation Department has made it official. It was a 32-year-old record. And, you know,
how do you survive?
Yeah, I know. I would have had a heart attack.
Wow.
That would have killed me.
Yeah, you'd have been dead.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. You know, I don't mind you dying so much, but we'd have to hire these pallbearers and carry you off, you know, and all that stuff.
And you don't want to do the show by yourself.
Well, I got other friends. Gary will come in. Gary,
we get Dave. How did you get Dave down here anyway, your brother?
I bribed him.
Really? What did it take? How much did this cost him, Dave?
Two big sack of nickels.
A big sack of nickels, he said. No, I had to get him some shad guts and some night crawlers, and he said he'd come if I would do that.
Well,
that's what we're going to I haven't got him yet. I'm just promised him to. I didn't ever, you know, what the heck, you know. Man, yeah. I tell you what it is. It's the most bizarre year for water that I can ever remember. Gavin's Point, I believe, is releasing 75,000. Rumor running around, some people say it's 77,000 cubic feet a second, and they're talking about going up to 90.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. Fort Peck is 11 foot over Power Pool, which is a spooky, spooky deal. Fort Randall, all of them, Oahe, all of them, Sacagawea, they're all full of water.
Okay. Well, in Oklahoma, Arkansas, same problem. Grand Lake is within 2 or maybe 3 feet of going over the dam. Now, it's it's 11 feet high, which doesn't sound like much compared to a lot of these other lakes, but it's not a flood control lake. It was built for power generation, so it can't fluctuate that much. But then some of the other lakes down there, you know, they're record highs. So it's, you know, the thing, we had that flood back in 93, and it was just a short-lived thing. It didn't last anything like this. They're saying that the all the state parks down at Truman are going to be closed for the summer months.
Yep.
It's probably going to be October, they're thinking, before, and that's given no more rain, before they get these reservoirs back under control.
It's crazy.
I've
never seen anything like it. No hope I never see it again. You know, we went through one kind of major flood. I had 7 foot of water in our duck cabin, and then it went down, and we started remodeling a little bit, and now it's got 4 foot of water back in it. You know,
has it started going back down yet?
It went down an inch yesterday. We're really so giddy.
You still got 4 foot of
oh yeah,
4 foot of water in your cabin still.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
So, you know, it's giddy. An inch drop. I just looked a little while ago and dropped it an inch. So we're doing fine
that's
up there.
Horrible.
But you know, it's just, and some of those people live out in that environment. You know, have lost everything. And I'm squalling around about hunting some ducks, you know, and hang dog. Well, some of them people don't have a place to sleep or eat or watch TV or hang out. You know, that's their livelihood out there in that river bottom. Some of the farmers, it's unbelievable. You know, and the worst part about this is they're not going to get a crop in on the deal. Corn was $3 anyway, so they weren't making a profit anyway. And then next year, who knows? You know, so you're basically talking 2 to 3 years without any revenue.
Mm.
And I don't know how many businesses can hang on that long without any revenue coming through the door. So, you know, and then, you know, talking about federal disaster relief, I'm not seeing it. I don't know anybody that's got it. You know, I don't know where this went or who got that idea in their head, but I suppose there's some people got some money out of this deal, but from the disaster fund, but I don't know of anybody. And I talk to them people up there every day. You know, it's just bizarre. Hmm. You cannot believe what you're seeing. We just stand there and you just look, and it's that lake from Four City over to White Cloud's about eight miles wide. It's solid water for 8 miles from there to Omaha, Nebraska.
Golly.
You know, and all that water's got to come down through there. You know, it just doesn't go away.
And this has gone on a long time now, and it's going to be going.
March 17th.
Wow, that's what is even more amazing.
Yeah, I was standing up for a couple of days ago, and a brand new jet ski come floating down through
there. Is that right?
I don't know whether someone turned it loose from their dock to collect the insurance or what was going on, but you wonder. By now, you thought all that debris and stuff would be down through there, but this looked like a brand new one. You know, going down through there.
Crazy. You
know, one farm out there's got a barn. I don't know where it came from. It's a huge barn. It ain't just a little barn. I'm talking about huge. And it's floating out in the middle. And there's places out there where they've gouged, you know, 50 and 60 feet deep.
What the
heck?
The
only thing good about that, it'll be full of crappie again.
Yeah, true.
You know, but my goodness. You just standing in the Tarkio River collapsed in the bridge. Come on. You know, you just can't believe what you're seeing. You know, unbelievable, an idea. But
hopefully, we'll never see anything like this again. But I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
The Kansas lakes, like I said, a lot of them are hard. And there's a lot of unhappy fishermen out there right now. A lot of people have started to go to some of these, you know, the smaller city and county lakes.
Sure.
Because they're not flood control reservoirs, and they don't fluctuate like our major reservoirs do. And you know, some of these lakes that normally you have to yourself. Well, now I'm hearing there's 12 to 20 boats on these things.
Yeah.
And tempers are running short. The guys are not having much fun out there right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just not good. Well, talking to Richard Bowling, our guide friend over on Truman, he's just quit going on Truman. He's going down Lake of the Ozarks, but a lot of people are going to Lake of the Ozarks now.
Yeah, it's crowded
because
they
can't get up on Truman. You can. Berry Bend is the only ramp open right now, but there's other places that roads are flooded and people are able to put in there. People that are getting out there, there are fish to be had. But I was again talking to Richard. He's got one of those live scopes. Panoptics. Oh my God. you know, and he just spent last year, I don't know how many thousands of dollars on the Lowrance 360, and he had the top of the line Lowrance stuff, but he's got this on there now too. And he said it just literally changes the way that you fish.
Yeah.
He said he thought that, you know, it was always thought that crappie only feed up, But he said, that is absolutely not true. They see a minnow or a bait, and they'll go down 5-8 feet to get
and
it.
And you can watch them.
And you can watch them do that. Yeah. You can see your lure. You can see your minnow. It's just watching live video. He said the only downside is he doesn't let his customers watch it anymore because they would get so enthralled in what was going on that locator that they wouldn't fish.
Yeah, I bet that's right.
It's just like watching the live video.
Yeah, when I watched it on YouTube, I was going to give it 5-10 minutes to kind of peeing around with it, you know. An hour later, I'm still on YouTube watching it. I can understand why they're looking at it.
I know.
Because you can't believe what you're seeing.
No, well, and it's really kind of, in some regards, it's depressing. Because you see how many fish come up and look at your lure, and you don't get bit. And you don't think there's any fish down there.
Yeah.
And that now you know it's you, and it's not, you know, it's not the fishing conditions. But yeah.
And you realize, too, how many you did miss.
Right, yeah.
You know, they grabbed a hold of the bait, but you weren't sensitive enough, cut in enough to realize the fish is on the end of your line, you jerk. You know, that's all it amounts to. It's a Garmin product here in Kansas City.
Yeah, and the rumor is in the next year or two, maybe it won't be that quick, but they've got the technology now that they're going to be able to identify the species of fish.
Wow.
It's just crazy.
You know, the technology in wildlife has come so far. Just reading an article in Delta Magazine, they're flying these drones over these. Used to, they would drag chains and four-wheelers and jump the hen off the nest. Of course,
some of them got counts.
Got ruined by doing that, but that's how they got the counts. Well, now they just fly the drone up, and they got heat seekers.
Right.
And they figure it out. And the next step on this one will be, in my opinion, which is probably, I think it's very accurate, they'll be able to, the heat sensor comes off of it. That's a hen mallard. This is a gadwall. This is a teal.
Wow.
On this thing. It's coming, the technology of this thing. So I don't know. Sometimes, you know, the whole industry has changed so much. You know, I don't know if they got a new scope out right now it's not new, but it's been out for a while. But, you know, it's got a bullet compensator built into the scope. You know, so when you eyeball that elk stand on the side of that mountain, a little red dot comes up and says, "You idiot, you need to raise your gun up another 3 inches."
No way.
Yeah, and it puts a little red dot where the bullet's supposed to hit, you know, type thing. And it's just the technology. It's just unbelievable. You know, and I've got a collection of old duck calls, and I thought, you know, I blow a J.J. Lair's duck call. The technology of a J.J. Lair's, you know, the way the reed sets in there and the sounding chamber. Just think about when we used to have an old duck call that an old fox, and you went quack, quack, quack. Now you got these screaming calls, and they're about long as a little short cigar, and they got volume, and they got the reed set off to one side, so if you got moisture, it doesn't freeze the reed down, and and the clearance is 0.032 on the reed. You go, come on, guys. And $149 for a duck call. Who'd ever thought you'd give $149 for a duck call?
Well, much less getting up to the electronics on these boats. You know, you can spend upwards of, for that Panoptics, it's $1,500. And then you got to get a graph to go with it.
And you got to have that.
The bigger the better. So you're looking at $2,000, $2,500, $3,000 pretty easy just for electronics. Yeah. Back in the, you know, our day when we first started fishing, we had a green box, Lawrence green box, a little flasher.
Flasher on it. I had one.
And then we caught a lot of fish.
The first time I turned it on, I was on Tuttle Creek, and I thought, boy, this thing's broke. What's all these little flashes going on in here? And it was fish. You know, you big dummy. You know. Well, we got Ted Hatfield. We got kind of breaking news maybe we will be sharing with you here. We got to take a little break, but this is kind of cool what you're about to hear. So this, you know, kind of listen up here. Look, call your friends, get them out of bed. We got 3 listeners. We'd like to have up to 6.
That would be good.
We do. You think we got 6?
I think we could double it, yeah.
You think we could?
Yeah.
Hope so. Anyway, we're brought to you by King City Lumber Company. King City, Missouri, home of Roger Worley. Anybody remember Roger Worley, all-pro cornerback, played for the Cardinals? But Marty and Monty Tonks run this company. I've known these guys for 20 years. And we used to go up there in King City duck hunt, didn't we, Ted?
Oh, yeah, it was really great.
It was a great experience, wasn't it? It was a wonderful place. But anyway, if you need an outbuilding, which a lot of you lost your building during the flood, I'm sure. Probably some going to lose some more the way it's acting. But if you're going to have to rebuild, these are the people that you use. Maybe you just need a loafing shed in the backyard or a shed for your hay or combine or whatever you're looking for. Go to the website, kingcitylumber.com. If you're like me, again, going to spend about 20 minutes, end up spending about an hour. And whatever you can come up in the concept of your brain, they will help you design it and build it. They got first-rate carpenters, first-rate lumber. When they leave, it will be perfect. And if it's not, they will make it perfect. That's what kind of company you're dealing with. Again, it's called kingcitylumber.com. Go to their website. You're going to enjoy looking at that. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Got to take a little break. We'll be right back with you.
Just listen to that song for a little while.
Yeah, here comes the sun.
Yeah.
We didn't see that for months.
I like it. Nicely done, Chris Bolig.
Yeah.
Chris Bolig running the show. Nice music selection.
Isn't he a good human?
He is the best.
Yeah, he's the best. He might be the best producer we've ever had.
I think so.
If he doesn't, he ranks in the top 10. Of course, we've only had 10, so there you go. Hey, we are brought to you by Highway Trailer Sales, my good friend Terry Lee. If you've not been by this fantastic human, you need to meet this guy, if nothing else, in your life. It's 1850 Southern Road here, right across from Worlds of Fun, off 435 on the north end of Kansas City. For you guys that are hauling grain, which, boy, are they hauling grain. My goodness, trucks get broke and bent and bumped and springs break and brakes go out and trailer lights need repaired. This is the finest human I've met in about 20 years. Well, 15, in the last 5 years. But anyway, he's a good guy. I like him a lot. And we did this commercial on a handshake. I've never had a contract with him. And that's the kind of business you'll do with him, too. Terry Lee, Highway Trailer Sales. They actually have trailers on sale right now, which is very rare. And also, they have 10 service bay garage up there. So if you need repair for anything, he understands time is money. Go by and see this fantastic person, Terry Lee, 1850 Southern Road. It's Highway Trailer Sales Incorporated, one of the finest people I met, and I mean that sincerely, in a long, long time. He's a great human. You know, one other thing that we need to talk about, too, is that ever these small lakes are about going to be the place to be fishing.
Right.
So if you got a Jackson kayak,
it's...
And I know where one's laying, if you can get to it, on the levee right down there. It's floated up there. But wouldn't this be an opportune time to own and operate a Jackson kayak?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You know, especially there's so many places, so many boat ramps that are closed, and so few places that you can put a boat in. But
yeah,
you get one of those, a kayak, and you just opened up a lot of possibilities. And there's not a better fishing kayak than the Jackson. They are the most stable kayak out on the market. There's all kinds of accessories that you can get to go with them. They are just so much fun. They've got some that you can pedal so you can fish hands-free.
They're one of the jet on it, don't they?
Yeah, yes, I saw that.
Yeah. A jet on a kayak.
A jet drive, yeah, right.
That's us.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's
Let's
me.
Let's get there fast.
Right. But they do have trolling motors that you can put on there also. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, check them out. Sportsman's Outfitter Marine, they're out there in Belton, Cass Road exit. It's the last exit out in Belton. But you can get back. There's so much flooded stuff now that you can't get to with a boat.
Yeah.
This would be the time.
This is the time to own one.
Oh, I'm telling you.
And you're not talking about a major bank loan here.
No, I mean, you can get them in, you know, under $1,000 for some of them, right?
Yeah.
But check them out at Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. But good bunch of guys out there.
You like Joe Falco.
He's, well, just starts there and trickles on down. Everybody out there, just great to work with.
Yeah, they're good people. In the studio, well within striking distance, I have Ted Hatfield. We're going to talk about Hatfield shotguns. And I want to say this. This is not an endorsement. Ted didn't pay me to say this. And if it was the other way around, I'm afraid we've been such good friends over the years, I'd tell him the other way, too. But I've had three of those guns, the Hatfield shotgun and a duck blind last year. They all functioned. They all cycled. The guys loved them. They couldn't say enough good things about them. And for $198, I think they caught them on sale at Walmart. Ted, you got to be proud of that gun.
Yeah, I tell you, you know what people really don't think about is, it's value priced. It's a good-looking gun.
Yeah.
Got walnut stock, walnut fore-end all checkered. You know, comes with three chokes, all that kind of stuff, ventilated rib. But it's got to work as well as a Benelli. I mean, they all have to work.
Sure.
So, and we can't afford to get them back. They're full warranty. And if we have a problem, you know, we've got to take those guns back and make it right. And if we do that, our margins are so slim, sure, we lose a lot of money.
Sure.
So we have to make sure we're turning out good guts.
What is warranty?
It runs for a year, but you know how it is, Fred.
Yeah, you'll do it.
If a guy's got a problem with a gun, you're going to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, and we have, in fact, what we do with it is we have a triple R warranty. And that's where we'll repair it, replace it, or refund your money. Yeah. So we don't get many complaints.
Yeah. You got it in a 12 and a 20?
I tell you, you know, we had a Walmart come to us this last year, and they make a 12. We make a 12 and a 20 in that semi-auto. And they wanted us to finish out the line and do a 28 gauge and a 410 and then do a 3.5-inch duck gun. So that's what we've got in the line. They haven't put them in the stores yet because we're just getting them in to them.
Wow.
But, you know, that's going to be a total line of semi-automatic shotguns.
Wow.
What are the prices on the other guns?
They're all the same. They're all the same. Now, 3.5-inch, it's going to run a bit more. It might run upwards towards $299 for it. But it's a synthetic stock camo. It's got a rubber insert so it doesn't in the top of the comb so it doesn't beat you to death. And it's a really cool-looking gun, Fred. As I said, I'm going to get one in. I'm going to give it to you, and you give it the acid test up there in Mount City.
We're going to auction one of them off at the Delta Waterfowl.
That's right.
And we've been kind of featuring that a little bit, and this is really going to be cool. Mark Tobin's going to come up August the 17th and cook for us. I hate throw you on the bus like that.
No, it'd be my pleasure.
But it's going to cost
you dearly.
Yeah, you know. A 410 in this gun?
Yeah, ventilated rib and the whole bit. You know, it's a cool little gun.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I will own one of those. I like to pay retail for it, too, if I could.
I have a soft spot in my heart for a 410. That's what I learned to hunt with. And the first goose I ever shot, just loved getting up early with my dad and going out to the pit up at Swan Lake. And I shot a goose. And it turned out it was like a 24-pound goose. It was just huge. The wingspan, I got a picture of Gary, my brother, and I holding this thing. And its wingspan is longer than we are tall. But I broke its wing. And this thing fell a mile away from the blind. And I'm so excited. I'm running through the mud. And finally caught up to it about 5 miles later. And I was so exhausted by the time I got to the blind. But I was so excited. But anyway, yes, soft spot in my heart for a 410.
Yeah. We all grew up with a 410, seemed like. You know, we used to go to Guy Enzer's hardware store, and we were so poor that he would break down a box and sell them to us individually, the shells. Seriously.
Wow.
He was such a nice guy. You know, I think we'd give an 8 cents a shell or something for him.
Right.
You know, we'd go get some Coke bottles and sell them for 3 cents a piece, and get you 3 shells, and we'd go hunting.
Good times.
The 3.5-inch gun?
Yeah. It's the same operating system that we have on all the SAS line, and it's just scaled up. We had to make a bigger receiver and all, a bigger ejection port and all that kind of thing. But
gas operated,
so it's going to be a little easier on kicking.
Yeah.
Now in my other life when I was working for American Rifleman magazine, I did the first review on the 3.5-inch Benelli when they did all that comfort tech stuff.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, I don't like to shoot 3.5-inch.
No, I don't either.
It gives me a headache.
Yeah.
And that's because it's bouncing your brain around inside there. You know?
What's left of it. You know?
Right. So anything you can get, we got a big thick recoil pad on it and all that kind of stuff. For those guys that like punishment, go out there and shoot a 3.5-inch. But it'll shoot a 3-inch or a 2.75 too, you know, it'll shoot anything. Yeah, you know, that's what they wanted. So, you know, we've been working on it, and it's a good one.
Wow.
Cool.
This is exciting.
And the price is unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. $299 probably around that retail?
I think so. You know, I don't know what Walmart's going to price it at, but we had to make it pretty inexpensive for them. And like I said, we do it, you know, pretty slim margin, but that's what they expect.
I had a gentleman last time I had you on, and we were talking about your gun, and I'd met the guy somewhere along my travels, and he had one of my old business cards, still had my cell phone number on it, and he called me when I was heading on my way home, and he said, I went to Walmart, there's no Hatfield in here. And I said, well, they can get you one. I mean, all you got to do is go back and talk to the floor manager, and they'll get you the gun on the deal. Well, I went to the other Walmart out here by Independence. He said, they didn't have one either. I said, well, they retail. You know, and Marvin, the guy that I know in that business, he said, you know, we have such a demand for those for $198, and the reputation is great. You know, so it's a cool gun for the value of the money. I used to spill that much on Saturday night, $198 worth, you know. That's a tremendous gun.
Yeah, it is. You know, we're real proud of that. And, you know, we're working on some other stuff, too. You know, they only take part of the line. We make over and unders and everything else.
Yeah.
You know, this 3.5-inch is a gun that's kind of close to my heart.
Well, I bet.
You know, and I want to... You know, turn that loose on some ducks and geese this year.
Yeah. You know, one thing and we were talking here off the air, one thing that a lot of listeners don't know, all six of our listeners, is that you guys go to the Running of the Bulls, which is July the 7th. You guys have been there before many, many times, haven't you, over in
Spain? You know, I go over there every once in a while to remind myself why I don't do that kind of crazy stuff anymore.
Were you there when the guy got killed that one year?
Oh, yeah, you know, the first time I went, Fred, I left on crutches.
How did that happen?
Well, there's 3,000 people out in the street. Most of them don't even see a bull. They, you know, they take off and run all the way to the stadium before the bull show up. But, it's one of those things that bull had 3,000 people to pick from, and he picked me.
So was it that he picked you, or were you just not fast enough?
Well, that too. You know, I'm not going to set any speed records. And perhaps there was alcohol involved. I won't know.
So you actually got run over by the bull.
Oh, yeah. I ended up in the hospital. And I wasn't going to tell my dad I was so stupid. So I didn't say anything. You know, I didn't write him or anything. This is back before cell phones. This is back way back in the 70s. And but somebody from UPI or whatever picked up on all the Americans that ended up in the hospital, me and about two other guys, and Walter Cronkite was running a little short on news that night, and he said, you know, today was one of the worst days of the Running of the Bulls. And several Americans were seriously injured. They are Ted Hatfield from St. Joe, Missouri. Well, so much for me keeping it from that, you know.
That's good.
Unbelievable. Oh, man. Only a Hatfield. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We are brought to you by Reed Chevrolet. If you've not been to this fantastic store, you're the last person to walk the face of Earth and been through the door up there. My goodness, do they sell pickups. 22 one Saturday, I think it was. People coming from Lincoln and Omaha and Columbia, Missouri and Butler, Missouri and Springfield driving all the way to St. Joe to buy a Silverado pickup. Why? Price. But they're such good humans. They got such a huge selection. You're going to love them. Non-commissioned salespeople. If I keep going, I can't say enough good things about Travin, too. He's just a fantastic person, and that whole Reed family is fantastic. So if you're in the mode for a brand new Chevrolet, which who isn't, this 2019 is an orgasmic looking truck. Ooh, man, I'd like to have one. I'm poor. But, boy, what a vehicle. So go by and see Travin Reed, all those guys up at Frederick Avenue in St. Joseph, Missouri. You're going to love the way they treat you. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with you.
Lively music selections. Mr. Chris Bolick, thank you.
Chris, good human.
He is. He is a cracked board operator running our show for us.
Yeah, we got a new listener?
Oh, yeah, I got to say good morning. Mike Rotter. Mike runs the Midland Hardware out in Grandview off Blue Ridge Boulevard.
Who is it?
Mike Rotter.
Oh, Mike.
Mike, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Very nice
guy. I got
a
story on Mike. Not true, but I got a story on
him. Yeah, I can imagine. He's a
kinda
character.
Honorary.
Yeah, he is. But is very he? Nice guy. If you're out and need anything in the hardware store, go see Mike. He will take good care of you. He's just a great guy.
Is he?
And he likes our show, yeah.
Does he?
Yeah. I mean, go figure that.
Yeah, well,
I have to question his mental capacity.
Yes, really. what the heck?
But good morning, Mike.
Morning, Mike. We'll take him fishing or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't go.
He works all the time. He works. Yeah, all the time. He doesn't have a personal life.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
He got his priorities wrong. In the studio with us, Ted Hatfield, and we were talking about the running of the Bulls, and he did survive, which I had my money on it the other way that you would never come back, but what the hey, in the deal. I'll never forget the video that a guy, that one of them Bulls stopped and hooked him under the rib cage.
He
threw him up in the air about 20 feet in the air.
Yeah,
And wonder why he died.
Wow.
I mean, I'll never forget that video. I mean, it was unbelievable.
It kind of makes you ask the question, why would you do that?
Well, it's just a thing to do in life. It's one of those things as a male you're supposed to do, you know. Have you ever been keeping up on the story with the Himalayas where all the people are dying up there because it's so crowded walking up in there? Have you?
Yeah, you know, actually, Andy was asking me about that last night. That back in my other life, when I was a kid, we went off to off the Himalayas and from Kathmandu up to the base camp there is 200-mile hike.
Wow.
You know, but I didn't have anything else to do, so you know, I went wandering around up there. But you get up in that part, and like the base camp's like 18.5, and the last piece of firm ground is like 17.5. It's called Gorkshep. Then you have to get out on the Kumbi Glacier and go up to the base camp. And, you know, even when I was young and virile, I couldn't you get up there, you can't sleep, you can't breathe.
Yeah.
You know, everything is just an effort.
Yeah.
And I was up there, and my faithful Sherpa guide, a guy named Passang, you know, who looked like he had just got off riding one of those shaggy ponies with Genghis Khan. And I asked him if he was a porter. He'd go up there, you know, clear up almost the top of Everest. And I said, how is it up there? He said, oh, man. He said, you get up that last camp. He said, nobody feels good. Your appetite's gone. He said, you can't even keep your cigarettes lit.
I got to ask you again. I don't get tired of hearing the story, but we talk about trout fishing and how you match the hatch, and you sometimes use the teeniest, tiniest little lures that are just hard to even get a line tied on that they're so little. And you were fishing for some fish that's in the trout family. Where was this at?
Taman. And actually, it wasn't me. It was Gary Loomis.
Oh yeah,
and he tried for him in Mongolia, and of course there, the locals' favorite lure is half a squirrel. But he found sea run taman coming into the Kamchatka Peninsula there in Russia, and he went over there and set out in, and the run comes in right after the ice goes out. It's this one big river. So when he got back, I called him and said, how'd you do? And he said, we didn't take big enough tackle. Wow. Tore up everything we had. Because some of these things get over 100 pounds.
Oh, my God.
A trout over 100 pounds.
On a half a squirrel.
On a half a squirrel.
It's a delicate presentation.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You need a good cane pole is what you need. Wow. That is amazing. Yeah. One other thing that people don't know about Ted Hatfield, Squintna, Alaska. Is that what, am I pronouncing that? Am I right? Where you guys stayed a year up there?
Oh. Yeah, we built a cabin up there on the Squintna River, and I tried my hand at trapping one winter. Boy, that was stupid. And everybody asked me what Alaska was like in the winter, and I said, real easy, just get in your freezer and close the door. You know, it's dark and it's cold.
Well, that sounds inviting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was, I don't know why I did that.
It's been a year up there, didn't you?
Oh, I was up there a couple of years. I'm a slow learner.
And you're the only guy I know, too, during the Vietnam War when the bullets were raging. You were over in Vietnam walking around a little bit, weren't you?
Yeah, I drew a high number in the lottery, so I didn't get drafted. And I found myself in Laos while the war was still going on. And you didn't dare go outside town, outside Vientiane, because you could hear the artillery fire out there and everything. You know.
The war.
Yeah. There again, you know, as I said, I was not smart as a youth, and I haven't really gained much, you know, as I've grown older.
But let me back up a little. You found yourself in Laos.
Yeah.
How do you
yeah.
find yourself there?
Well, you know, one of those strange things. I was in India, you know, trying to find the inner path to the cosmic mind. And then ended up in down Southeast Asia, and I was actually going to Cambodia. And went down there to get a plane ticket, fly down from Bangkok, Cambodia. And the local airline said, we have flights going in every day, but they've been shelling the airport. And I went, well, maybe I won't do that. So as an alternative, I went to Laos, which was not very smart either.
Well, now I understand why you got run over by a bull. Your judgment seemed to be a little lacking.
Yeah, it really has been over life.
There's a book out. The book was called Hell, I Was There or something of that nature. You ought to write one, too. You know, I mean, I was there. You know?
Yeah, the problem is I'd have to write it as a fiction because it is believable.
When do you think you'll grow up?
I don't know. I hope I don't ever. You know.
You won't remember this, but the night they drew the lottery, me and you sat across the street from the hardware store, the sporting goods store, in that red brick house, and watched them draw the numbers because we were going to Vietnam to get shot at.
Absolutely.
And
you know,
we were drinking watermelon wine. We were hanging out. We were acting so intelligent. I think we was 18 years old. And they drew my birthday out, and then McNamara, I think it was, picked it up, and then they drew the other number out of the other bin, and I drew a 300 and some, and you drew something.
Oh, yeah, just about that, you know, way up there.
And we both got giddy. I mean, we didn't have to go kill somebody, and we didn't have to go to Vietnam.
Yeah.
And I was prepared. I mean, that's where I was headed.
Yeah.
In 68, 69, that was a real shoot-em-up war, you know.
Oh, yeah. I had no preparation for what I was going to do after college because we were going, you know, they were going to shave your head and send you off to Vietnam. I mean, that was it. So, you know, when I actually drew out a high number there, I was actually like a boat without a rudder. Yeah. I didn't know what I was going to do.
Yeah.
That's how I ended up in Alaska.
Yeah.
They should have drafted me.
Yeah. Well, I was so giddy because I've had a very good friend come back in a box from over there. You know, a lot of guys didn't make it back, and a lot of the guys that came back at that time were really messed up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was hard on them emotionally, you know, and then all of a sudden let go and come back to real society.
Oh, physically and mentally both.
It was a terrible time to go through in life, you know, on the deal. But and at least now it's a volunteer, you know, you sign up and go on the deal. But, boy, it was weird times.
Oh, it was.
It was just absolutely weird
on
the deal. But what the hey, you know. Tobin, what do you got planned for the rest of the day? You going fishing?
I am. Got to go down Lake of the Ozarks, and I'm just real excited to get down there with the amount of water that's being released. White bass fishing can be exceptionally good. And, you know, the crappie spawned, everything's pulled away from the bank. So one thing you want to do is take crankbaits like a red-eye shad or anything like that and just troll. I know you don't like to troll, but you'll catch crappie, you'll catch white bass, you'll catch hybrids, just about anything. You'll catch catfish doing that, too. But the thing I like about when they're running water like this, it really concentrates those fish in specific places. You know, bayfish shad, they don't like the current, so they'll get into current breaks, little eddies along the main lake. And the game fish stack in right there behind them. So it can make it very easy to find the fish this time of year. And they're going to be running water for a long time. So it could be just one of the best years we've seen for white bass and different things in a long, long, long time. But it's fun. You know, we'll put two jigs on or put a lead spoon on the bottom and tie a crappie jig 12, 18 inches above it. And more often than not, you're going to catch two fish at a time. When you get a bite, just hold it. Don't be real quick to reel it in and just let that other fish fight there. And they're in pretty big schools. And all that activity, you know, it's kind of like, you know, mine. You know, they want whatever the other fish has got. Right. So you'll get two at a time. And it's so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun.
The big new record, the hybrid that was caught below the dam at Truman.
21 pounds, 11 ounces.
That's a huge fish.
I wouldn't be surprised if it got broke again.
I wouldn't now either. You know, and you think about why was that fish there? You know, how old was he?
I don't know how old that would have been.
It'd be amazing how old that fish was.
And probably not that old. I mean, maybe 7 or 8 years old, maybe.
I don't know.
They grow fast.
They grow fast, you know. But all of a sudden, I guess by running all the water, that fish got activated enough to swim up there, or maybe he'd been there before and just didn't get caught. But I wonder about things like that.
It ought to be good.
Yeah.
And again, they're going to be running water for a long time. So, but that was a 32-year-old record. That's really surprising to me that it hadn't been broke before now.
What you ever fish below the dam at Lake the Ozarks?
No, I never have been down there. No, never have.
I think that'd be kind of bizarre.
Well, you can't do it now.
You can't do it now.
It's closed indefinitely.
Yeah.
Everything from Bagnell Dam to the Missouri River is closed.
Well, I've never seen anything like it.
No.
You know, they were showing me pictures yesterday of Truman, and I bet they thought, well, you idiot. I just couldn't believe, you know, them ramps are all closed.
Yeah.
You can't even tell there's a ramp there. It looks like a county road runoff in the water.
Well, I'm telling you, the poor folks at Bucksaw Marine, they have new ownership, and they spent a lot of money over the winter remodeling, and now this happens, and who knows when they're going to be able to open up. I mean, he's hoping that they can open up by the end of the summer, maybe fall. The guy's got a really good attitude, you know. How do you survive that?
Yeah,
brand new owners, and then have this happen. That's bad.
Yeah,
terrible, heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. It's beyond heartbreaking. You know, people, until you go through it, I don't think most people realize. You know, when you go up to the town of Watson and it's gone, the town of Langdon, it's gone. When you come to the small communities up there, Phelps City, it's gone. You know, and until you've been around that area and you look over there and the elevator used to be there and the houses used to be there and they're gone.
Yeah,
they're
you're not seeing over. This in the news. Yeah, you're not seeing this reported.
Yeah, and you don't see it on national news and nobody. And I understand why people don't care. They got their own life to get on with and all that stuff. But boy, it's such a tragedy. And as we were talking off the air, it's so hard on these small communities.
Right.
You know, they're not into the John Deere store, you know, buying the parts. They're not in the grocery store, you know, getting basics instead of getting, you know, different stuff. You're not down the Chevrolet store buying something, you know, at the Ford store or whatever. It's people don't understand what the economic
impact is, right?
The only thing that's good out of this so far, I see corn now is back to $4.18 on the open market. So, you know, the prices of corn come back. And the only reason that is because so devastated, all the corn washed out or they couldn't get planted.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. You know, I don't know where this heads on the deal. The other thing, too, is that, and people as outdoor guys, the quail hatch has got to be absolutely zero. The nest have all got to be washed out. The turkey hatch has got to be down to the very, very minimum. You know, I don't know. You know, and it's in North Dakota and it's South Dakota and it's in Nebraska and it's Kansas and it's in Iowa and it's, you know, it's
widespread.
Widespread deal. Yeah, no, not a deal. So I don't know. I don't know where it ends, but I don't know. It's just a weird deal.
We've had Ted Hatfield in the studio with us. When are your new guns going to be available at Walmart?
we're starting to stock them now. And honestly, we're looking at probably August and September, you know, during the hunting season, when they're going to have the stores fully stocked. We do this by container load, you know, ocean freight. So we've got guns on the water right now, you know, coming in.
And for the most part, under $200. That is just incredible.
You better have one of those.
I know.
Cans.
There's one thing I want to tell you about, Fred, that we've been working on. We've been working on this for 5 years. Have you ever shot a suppressor or a silencer?
Yeah.
Well, we've been working on this. And anymore, they're making subsonic ammunition for suppressors.
Sure.
And we were out doing a demo with this, and we make a big, long suppressor that'll go on a bolt-action rifle. And we had 308 subsonic ammunition. Now, I used to shoot a 308. You have, too.
Yeah.
It's a really loud gun. When
barks.
You pull the trigger on it, it really barks. Well, with this suppressor and the subsonic ammunition, it's with our suppressors, it's more quiet than a Daisy BB gun.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. And I have a good friend who has degenerative, he's got a degenerative, I don't know what you call it, disease. He inherited this. He's losing his hearing. And he's a young guy. He's eventually going to be deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves to go hunting, especially big game hunting. And he has a big problem because, you know, he has to wear hearing protection all the time.
Sure.
when he's hunting. And, well, you know how that is, Fred. You can't hear.
Yeah.
You know, you can't hear the animal. You know,
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Yeah. Okay. Right. So at any rate, we're going to make one of these for him to where he can go big game hunting and not have to wear the hearing protection.
You know, we're out of time, but the thing about the suppressors I've seen on the market is they'll set your shooting bench on fire. They get so hot.
That's the big deal with us. We make ours out of carbon fiber, and we've got what's called cool cord technology. And where a common suppressor, after maybe 90 rounds, will get up to over 1,000 degrees.
Yeah.
Ours will get up to about 80.
Wow. So are these going to be available retail eventually?
Yeah. Yeah, we're just getting this launched. We've been working on it for 5 years. We got a patent pending on it, and we're going to get it on the market. But they're pretty neat. We'll have to do something with that.
Yeah.
Well, Ted, I appreciate you coming in here more than you probably ever know. Ladies and gentlemen, you're out and you need a gun. You don't want to spend a lot of money. Maybe you just want some protection around the house or whatever. Look into this Hatfield line. It'll be available at all your Walmarts. If it isn't in that Walmart, they can get it for you and order it for you. You're going to love that piece of equipment. There's no doubt about it. That wraps it up. Mark, you excited?
I'm ready to go fish.
You ready to go fishing?
Yep.
You're excited about the rest of the day. Is that what you're motivated and focused?
You
is
got that
what
right.
It is? Is that why you're giggling?
Glad to meet your brother, Dave. Good. Thank you for coming in, Gary Tobin, my brother. Thanks for being sitting there and being quiet.
Both of them came in sober.
Well, we don't know that.
Oh, we don't?
Okay. Maybe not both of them.
Are we done? We got to go. Tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we got to wrap this up. Next time I see you, I hope I see you in a great outdoor.
Have a great week. Right. So long, everybody.